The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Rob's been patiently waiting, I guess patiently. How you doing, Rob? Rob, are you on there?
Yes, sir, I'm on here.
Oh, okay. How you doing this morning?
Great. I missed the first part of the show because I was putting a pork butt on a smoker.
Oh.
What's your address?
sounds like lunch coming up. Or maybe dinner.
Late dinner, since I didn't get it all until, well, I set my alarm for 5:30, but it was 6 o'clock before I could drag my sorry butt off to bed.
Well, it's pretty chilly outside, too.
Ed, I supposed to have gone fishing with Captain Chip Wingo yesterday, but when the weatherman said it was going to be 20 degrees with the wind chill, Chip and I both put on our princess panties and canceled out.
Yeah, Chip's on hold also here.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he called right after you did. Yeah, I tell you what, this week, the way they're talking about the wind, I mean, they're talking about 25 knots with gusts to 35 tomorrow now. So,
wow.
On the National Weather Service marine forecast.
Yeah, not nice.
No, not when it's this chilly. You know, that's just, it just gets to where it's not fun, you know. I've got 3 guys supposed to go tomorrow, so we're gonna talk today.
Well, it'd be kind of an iffy day at best.
I was talking about your floats earlier about how, you know, whenever people turn their heads or something, they can hear it flop down, you know.
Yeah.
I can hear that whenever fish gets on that thing and that float disappears, you can hear that float go down.
Yeah.
Of course, if the wind ain't blowing, you know, if the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour, you're not going to hear much of anything except wind.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because when the wind's blowing a lot like that and you finally get in your truck to back it down to get the boat on the trailer, it's so quiet. You know, when you get in there and shut the door, it's so quiet after having that wind blowing in your ears all day.
Yeah, I don't mind the cold because I can wear clothes.
Yeah,
but the wind just
it's so
brutal.
Aggravating. Yeah, it's so aggravating,
and I'm exhausted.
And when you get that that north wind, is just so chilly, you know, so cold.
Well, my massage therapist was telling me about she got some clothing from Rip Curl, you know, the surfing outfit.
Yeah,
is lightweight, but it's windproof.
Hmm.
So I'm gonna have to look into that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the clothes that I got, like say, I mean I like, you know, the clothes I got to wear out there like that in the cold, but you know, always looking for something new and improved, you know.
I have a set of the long underwear. It's the new high tech material. It's amazing. It's real slippery, so it doesn't bind up underneath your blue jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
But the minute you put it on, it starts. You can feel the heat coming back to your body. I don't know how they do it. It's not made out of anything super special. It's just a combination of, you know, oil products, I guess.
And it's thin?
Well, I got the lightweight. They have 3 layers. They have light, medium, and heavy. But
yeah,
it's freaking amazing how the instant I put that on in the house, like the top.
Yeah.
It just is like, oh, that's warm.
Mm.
You know, the only thing generating the heat's me. So it reflects all your body heat back.
That's good.
And it doesn't hang up under your clothes because it's real slippery.
Mm.
And you wouldn't think for a minute that it's any good if you feel it. You think, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't tell you enough not to look into this high-tech underwear.
That's probably like the socks liners, those Fox sock liners I wear under my regular socks. I used to put on all these big, you know, these big, thick wool socks, but those Fox sock liners, you can put them on. They're real thin.
Yeah, these are thin.
But you just put them on and put a regular pair of socks on, and your feet don't get cold.
Hmm.
It's so crazy. So you don't have clothes like that yet, Rob, where you can get out there and get into that cold?
I don't get out in the weather that much. My princess panties hold me away from it.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe you can get out there with Chip pretty soon then.
I'm hoping. I missed the first part of the show when you were talking about using floats for sheepies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which floats? Are you using a slip float or using one of my corks? Or
no, actually, the long slip floats, you know, the 12-inch floats.
Yeah.
When we're float fishing for a trout, but we just had found a couple places where there's some sheep's head in there.
Gotcha.
And you could use them at all kind of places like white shell and places like that too. You just got to, you know, get that right depth, you know, find that right depth where they're at, you know, in that water column. I mean, you'd think sheephead would be on the bottom, but if you get that bait too close to the bottom, you get hung up, you know.
Yeah, I need something to give me an advantage on sheephead, because when it comes to sheephead fishing, I'm part of the old proverb of, you just can't teach stupid.
Nah, it's not as hard as you think it is, really. And, you know, I haven't tried the float fishing at the jetties for sheep's head, but I bet you it works. You know, if you could just, you know, get up there and get, you know, where you can, of course, the last of the incoming tide where that water's coming through the rocks and through the lower places and all that, it wouldn't work then because it'd push your float away from the rocks, you know, as that water's coming through. But say on the outgoing tide before it's running real hard, where you could float that, you could drift that float straight down the rocks in the same depth. That way you can set it up to where you're just above the rocks and drift it down there. I bet you that'd work good.
All right. All righty. Well, y'all have a great weekend. And catch them up if you do go.
Yeah, I know it. It's looking pretty bad for tomorrow, so yeah. I don't know. It's hopefully this week it'll change from what I saw the national weather forecast this morning.
But I mean, we deserve, you know, 70-degree weather and calm winds.
I don't care if it's 70 degrees. I just want the calm winds.
Yeah,
me too.
All right, Rob, I sure appreciate it.
Good morning, Chipperoo.
All right, sir. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Vic.
All right. Bye-bye. Morning, Chip.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
How you doing, sir?
Good. I have a couple questions for you.
Oh, you have a question for me?
Yep.
All right.
You prefer the traditional or hand line or tip-ups when you're ice fishing?
See, now that should be a question for me because I have ice fish. I'm one of those damn Yankees.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's just about that point this week. It looks like it's going to be pretty cold. Yeah, I know. I saw a couple of days there, like 28, 29 degrees.
Chip, have you ever ice fished yourself?
No.
You can get a freaking monstrous fish through a 6-inch hole. They caught the state record in Pennsylvania walleye.
Wow.
Through the ice. Yeah. It may have been broken now, but it held for 5 or 6 years that I know of. And they pulled that beast through a 6-inch hole.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the only ice fishing I've ever done is fishing an ice cube out of my scotch.
There you go. Single malt, I hope.
But the reason they could pull that through it, the reason they could pull that fish through a 6-inch hole is he shrunk up so bad from being in the cold water.
Yeah, right.
That's a telling comment, isn't it, Chip?
Hey, Chip, can you hold on? Are you busy? Can you hold on?
I'll hold through.
Okay, because I want to see, have you fished this week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, maybe we can talk about that when you come back. Yeah, because
I'll talk to you when you get back.
Yeah, because I haven't been this week. You know, just the people I've had, you know, booked and everything, the days I had booked was so windy. And then the other days were raining, you know. But anyway, I'll get you on as soon as we come back, Chip.
Roger that.
All right. We'll be right back.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Got Captain Chip Wingo on the line here. Okay. You still there, Chip?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you, did you get a chance to look at my Facebook page and see that post that says every charter boat customer ever? And see that video? That guy's hilarious.
Yeah, some of it's actually true, but
I went to his site and looked at some of the other videos. That guy's hilarious, man. You got to check that out. But anyway, you say you fished this week?
Yeah, I did early in the week. It's, you know, if we can get a straight pattern.
It went in June?
No, but, I mean, it's funny because you know the fish are there. You know where they're at. Then you get, you know, a warm day, a cold day, two cold days, one warm day. You get some rain.
Yeah.
You know, and it changes constantly. But you know, it's weird because when that water gets colder, a sheephead bite picks up, you know, black drum bite picks up, you know, then all of a sudden it warms up and you get that perfect morning and you expect to see them crawling everywhere. And nope, you know, then you go out, it's blowing 100 knots,
yeah.
Get into a creek and get on a super bite, you know. So it's just really strange. So, you know, and Leon and I are trying to figure out a bull red bite in the valley because, you know, he's caught two bulls over 42 inches. And, you know, I had one spool me on a light tackle. And it's just one of those things, you know they're there. There's a reason they're there. We're just trying to figure out what that reason is and where.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of funny because, you know, I don't know if I told you about the bite of pompano I had in Sisters Creek that was crazy, you know, to catch them in an area I've never caught them, pretty close to Fort George, but, you know, and to get that bite and then turn around and the trout bite was every cast. You go back 2 days later and it's non-existent, you know. It just, you know, it's a little... You got to do a lot of running and gunning. When it's cold, that's not a real fun thing to do.
It sure isn't, I can tell you that. It was last week one day. All I did was the first two fishing spots, all I did was idle to them. I didn't go that far, so I just idled to them.
I was at the dock when Vic came in with his sheephead. He caught off a cork, and his clients looked like popsicles. They were just sitting there. They're all red. They weren't even moving. I thought he'd been keeping them in the cooler.
Exactly. You can just keep them in the live well and turn it off. They're frozen.
No, I mean, I thought he was keeping his clients in the cooler.
Yeah, they were pretty cold.
Cooler to get warm. Yeah. I keep a pair of ski goggles on the boat now. For all kinds of things, especially if it rains, but it really helps when it's cold too, you know, so you can actually see out your eyes, you know, dumping ice cubes like an ice maker. But
that's a good idea.
But no, you're right. It's, you know, when it gets cold, it's hard for clients, and half the time they show up and they're wearing shorts and you know, light jackets, and I'm like looking at them, and I've got foul weather gear on,
mm-hmm.
you know, boots. You know, gloves and a wool cap, and they're looking at me like I'm the crazy one.
Yeah.
You know.
Or they're like, we're from North Carolina, or we're from Tennessee. You don't know what cold is down here. Yeah. Get in that open boat and take off a little bit. It'd change your mind in a hurry. But, it's...
How'd your trout bite turn out for you, Vic?
Actually, we only caught two trout the other day, float fishing for them. But I haven't been. I threw the bomber, you know, while we were float fishing also, because I had two guys float fishing, so I threw the bomber too. Never got a fish on the bomber, but, you know, I was just trying to do that once in a while just to see, like, maybe, you know, they were higher up in the water column or whatever. You know, we were actually just trying to trout fish with the floats, and that's. We only caught those two, but we mainly caught redfish and sheephead, actually.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny. The best trout bite I've gotten this year has always been in 6 to 8 feet of water.
And see, that's about how deep we were floating in.
Yeah. That's probably why you picked up those reds so easily, too. You know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I tell you what, there's another bite going on down in the valley. It's some of the biggest whiting I've ever seen, but, you know, don't eat anything.
Oh, I love whiting.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a couple places selling sand fleas right now down in St. Augustine, and that's been one of the bites of choice. I know Captain Scott Shank's been doing real well on them, you know, catching sheephead and whiting, reds, everything eats them, it seems like.
Are they live sand fleas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, them sheephead love them.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, when I couldn't get fiddlers, and I got Larry Finch to get me some sand fleas, and boy, them things. Now, they don't like them when they're dead. You know, they do stink. But, you know, but, you know, you can keep them alive several days in a bucket of sand. But the sheephead do love them. They're good on the rocks.
Well, I've got something to show you next time I see you, but we're going to hang on to it quietly until after the sheephead tournament.
Okay.
But I'm going to actually get to fish it this year with some clients. So I'm sure it'll be blowing 30 knots that day for me. And, you
know. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering how that's going to work out because, you know, now they're having it a little bit later because, of, you know, last few years the wind's been howling in February. So I think they're having it a little bit later trying to get into better, you know, better weather. So we'll see how that works because, I mean, we've had, you know, and you know how it's been. We've had March winds in, like, January and February, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it's cold and that wind's blowing, it's like tomorrow. I don't know if you saw the national weather forecast. You know, Windfinder's not showing it quite as high, but the national weather forecast showing 25 knots tomorrow, a gust of 35.
Wow.
Yeah, seas to 9 feet in the afternoon.
That's why I'm in Georgia.
Yeah, I tell you, it's
cold. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's and like I say, I don't usually, you know, the cold. I mean, I'd rather not have it cold. I'd rather have it like, you know, 65, 70 degrees anytime. But you know, the cold doesn't, you know, if it's even if it's 40 degrees or something in the morning, 35, 40 degrees in the morning when I leave the dock, you know, usually warms up pretty good, and I dress for it, you know, but. Man, when that wind blows, it's just, it just gets me, you know.
I think it's part of getting old for me. It just gets colder and colder.
It has a lot to do with it, I can tell you.
Yeah, I went out one day, and it was pretty darn cold, and I was ill-prepared. So I bought one of those Mustang life vests, because you got to keep the life vest your boat anyways. It's got a collar. It's got a flap over, you know, your back. So it comes down, thinking that since I have to carry it, I'll carry that, and then I won't get caught in the cold so badly. The problem is my freaking wife has managed to shrink it somehow.
No, really?
Yeah, it doesn't fit anymore. I don't know. It won't go around me.
Huh.
But it's warm as can be.
Huh.
They're a lot, you know, more money than a regular life preserver, but it's very warm.
She didn't
warm.
Wash it, did she?
I don't think so. That's the amazing part. And yet it just doesn't fit.
I don't think she shrunk it.
They tend to shrink right around Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I always talked about the wintertime. I put on my wintertime fat, you know, because the summertime, gosh, you know, we're out there and you're sweating it off so bad, you know. But I don't know. I haven't put on too much wintertime fat this year because I changed my whole diet, you know, this year. But not eating all that good fried foods and everything like I used to, but, you know.
Well, I've got a good friend and fishing client, Dave Alcock, who's supposed to, he sent me the link, and I'm getting everything set up to do this keto because old fat boy needs to lose about 50 pounds. So we'll see if how everything fits for me this summer.
The bad thing about it is you have to buy new clothes then.
I still have them all.
Oh, dear, that's good.
Doesn't everybody?
That's good.
So you're like, oh, I'll throw it now. I'll just hold on to them. One day, you know, maybe I'll get back into these, you know. You wore them in 1983.
Right. So. They're still their bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm going to make them come back into style.
I'm wearing bell-bottom T-shirts now.
But you guys have an awesome day. It's always a pleasure, Uncle Vic.
Thanks, Chip. I appreciate you calling, Chip. Buddy. Be careful up there. Try to stay warm.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll see you when you get back.
You got it.
Thanks for the call, buddy. And 222-8255 is the number. Give us a call, and we'll be back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is threatening another government shutdown or a national emergency if Congress does not agree to fund a border wall. Of course, yesterday the two sides came to terms for at least partial relief for the government shutdown, keeping it open now through February 15th, also meaning that the 800,000 furloughed workers will get their paychecks. Venezuela's political showdown now moves on to the United Nations. That's where a Security Council meeting called by the U.S. is set to take place to talk about the disputed presidential election there. Venezuelan President Maduro is dug in and accusing his opponents of orchestrating a coup. A survey of hundreds of corporate chieftains around the world shows a record jump in pessimism about the global economy. The survey tallies responses from about 1,300 CEOs. It's billed as a good predictor of economic results. On Wall Street Friday, the economic results were great. The Dow up 184 points. This is SRN News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 1st and Saturday, February 2nd at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Cirque Musica at the Jacoby Symphony Hall in downtown Jacksonville. Saturday, February 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Sunday, February 3rd at 10 a.m., it's the Orange Park Farmers and Art Market on Park Avenue in Orange Park.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Z, the founder of the original Tunis restaurant, and Robert Rukab, the owner of St. John Seafood Restaurant, have teamed up. The result is a new national chain called Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp features the time-tested recipes of seafood and chicken and more. Two Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp locations are now open in Jacksonville. 847 Dunn Avenue, just west of I-95, and now also at 101 Monument Road, just off Atlantic Boulevard. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp, the best you've ever tasted. 847 Dunn Avenue and 101 Monument Road.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler is any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
And there's still a crash at Butler Boulevard East at the ramp to Southside Boulevard. As for the weather, turning out pretty good. Sunny today, looking for a high, though, of 58. Mostly cloudy tonight, going to get down to 43. A little bit of rain tomorrow. Breezy, 50% chance of showers and cloudy. High on Sunday, 57. Low Sunday night, 42, and a 20% chance of rain. Mostly sunny for your Monday. 47 AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
That's all my fishing ringtones. Anybody I fish with, that's just good. So ridiculously funny.
It is. It's was that Vanilla Ice? It sounded like him. Because I know there's a lot of fishing rap songs. Really? Mannheim Steamroller has, we used to play them on the show quite a bit.
Huh.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Manhattan Steamroller has got several. Music. Yeah, they've got several out. It's pretty neat. March the 9th at Mayport, Florida, is going to be the El Cheapo Sheepshead Tournament. We were talking about that, or just mentioned that when Chip was on the phone about he's going to be fishing it this year with clients. So March the 9th at Mayport, Florida. Captain's meeting, of course, would be March the 8th, Friday night. And entry fee is still $100 until February the 17th. That's February the 17th. That's when it goes up. So entry fee is $100 per boat. Cash and prizes awarded through 15th place, as always. Junior Angler Division, Ladies Division, Kayak Division, 5 mystery weight prizes, special bonus prizes. The first prize is a 2019 Carolina Skiff, 18-foot, a JVX-18. Center console was a Suzuki 4-stroke on a Magic Tilt trailer valued at over $20,000. Second place is a Carolina Skiff, JV-14. A Suzuki 4-stroke and a Magic Tilt trailer. Third prize is a Nassara, a trip to Nassara, Costa Rica. And fourth place is a trip to Belize. So, anyway, it's the largest sheephead tournament in the world, of course. And, you know, a bunch of raffles. They got over $100,000 in prizes in cash and merchandise. So, you know, even if you're not in the tournament, it's well worth it to go out there, get you some raffle tickets, and see if you can win some raffles. You do not have to be in the tournament to buy your raffle tickets. And, of course, they've got some of the freshest sheep's head dinner. You know, as soon as people come in, weigh them in, they're cleaned up and, you know, stuck in the fryer. So really good food out there. And they do a great job on the tournament as well as the food. So anyway, you can do online registration if you'd like or get more information at elcheapojacks.com. That's elcheapojacks.com. elcheapojacks.com. So check it out. Sign up. Get ready. March the 9th at Mayport Boat Ramp. So it's always a fun tournament. Get to see people, especially at the captain's meeting that you don't get to see. But every now and then I always talk about how, you know, we see people that we've known for years and years here, fishermen and all this, people that, you know, I have fished with for years or, you know, used to work with and different things. Just over, you know, the last 50 years or whatever of being out here. And, you know, you get to see them at the boat ramp for a few minutes, but you're in such a hurry to get the boat in the water and go fishing that you don't really get a chance to talk to people. And this is one of the places where you can go out there and just kind of, you know, waiting on the captain's meeting and, you know, get to visit with everybody and talk with them. And, you know, so it's pretty neat. And then also, you know, on the day of the weigh-in, you're, you know, standing around waiting on the results and everything. So people are always talking, you know, and just good time visiting people that you don't really get the chance to talk to that much. Morning, Jesse.
Hello. Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing good.
Good, good, good. You know, they ought to call it the El Frizo.
The what? Frizo?
The El Frizo. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, it's cold, I know. But that's sheep's head season.
It is cold, but it's worth it when you get something on the line. So we just want to wish you a great morning, tell you that she is well-dressed and ready to run her 12 miles, and appreciate your show.
And good.
It's always a joy listening to you.
What time does she start running?
We have to be there in about 10 minutes, so we're about to pull up now. And
okay.
We'll see. I don't know. We kind of takes a little while for the teenagers to wake up. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of get the brain warming up and stuff. So, we really love listening to it and everything, so we appreciate it, and we love you, and we'll talk to you soon, and have a great morning. We'll continue to listen until we have to get out into the cold here.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear she's dressed warm for it. So 12 miles a day, you know, that's a lot.
Yes,
that's about 11 and a half more miles than I could run. So
I'm not going to drive that far today.
That's about 12 more than I'm going to. So, yeah. I'm going to find a nice, warm, heated place to stay while she does that.
There you go. I don't blame you. I just hate for her.
Have a great morning, guys, and y'all be safe, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
My granddaughter, she's into this marathon stuff now. No, she's 16 years old. I'm running 12 miles a day.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot more than I could run. But, going out there, looking at what people should actually target this time of the year. I mean, Chip was talking about the whiting down there in Palm Valley. Good gracious, I love whiting. To me, they're just such a clean little fish to eat, you know. You might want to try some whiting ceviche.
I was thinking that.
I love them. You know, usually I love them deep fried in peanut oil, but whiting are so easy to clean. They fight hard for their size, and even though they're not a big fish, but usually if you can get into them, you can catch a bunch of them in one place and have you get a little fish fry.
In New Smyrna Beach on the North Causeway, there was a condo that went broke after mm-hmm. they poured the pad.
Yeah.
And I remember coming down here as a damn Yankee on vacation, my buddy and I just backed the truck up to the edge of the concrete. We're cashing in the river by the North Causeway Bridge. We caught 80 of them.
Mm.
Drinking beer, listening to music, doing all things, you know, back when I was good looking. And, they were delicious, and we caught a buttload of them.
Yeah, they are so good. And usually when you get in them now, the ones I've caught here at the jetties here recently have been real small. I mean, I wouldn't keep them. I know some people do, but, you know, they've been like eight to maybe 10 inches at the most, you know. But I like them when they get what they call the bull whiting or, mm-hmm. you know, the, you know, regular whiting. To me, it's when you find them like that, you can kind of get into them and really catch them like you're talking about. And to me, I mean, they're just such a good fish to eat.
And you catch them on dead bait, right?
Yeah.
They'll eat anything.
Yeah, just dead shrimp. You know, a little old half piece of dead shrimp, you know, is all you need. And so it's a pretty easy fish to target. It's just kind of, you know, you find them in places, as long as you got sand around, I mean, you know, right there by Whiteshell, where the houses start at Whiteshell Rocks, things mm-hmm. like that. There's a lot of sand in there. So there's, you know, several whiting in there a lot of times where you can get in there and catch 30, 40 of them. But like I said, I don't know how big they are in there. I haven't fished for them in there lately. I know they were nicer size ones at the jetties for a while. And then when, I tried them out there not long ago. They were all small. We didn't keep any of them. But we caught like 17 in like, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. You know, wasn't very, very long at all. But so they're still in there. They just wasn't any size to them. But whiting is one of the things. Speckled trout, which I have not caught, you know, I have not gotten into some decent speckled trout, you know, one here, one there, that's about it. But I have not gotten into some decent speckled trout in a little while. Of course, I've been concentrating more on, you know, sheep's head and black drum at the jetties.
2 weeks ago, we got pretty good, you know, trout on higher than I would have believed possible incoming tide going up into a creek.
Hmm.
And it was on for about a half an hour. It was super fun. We took them home and.
Yeah, once you get into the school of them, usually you sit there and catch quite a few trout.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, people talk about what they're willing to hit. To me, trout's almost like bluefish. I mean, they'll hit just about anything that moves, you know.
We corked most of them. I caught quite a few. I was using a DOA shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did pretty well with that. The people I fished with never fished before, so they were kind of handicapped, but they did all right with a cork.
Well, and when you say DOA shrimp, do you like that better than the gulp shrimp?
I hate gulps. They're fragile, they're expensive, they're stinky, they're messy,
mm-hmm.
but they sure do work good. Yeah. I try not to use them for those many reasons.
Yeah.
I like the swimming mullet gulp the best. Mm-hmm.
I like the 3-inch shrimp in the molting color.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've caught a lot of flounder and trout on those.
I use chartreuse and white swimming mm-hmm. mullets.
And I like the molting because they have, it's kind of almost a natural color, but then it has these little specks in them that are kind of flashy.
I've used them.
Yeah.
I missed a really monstrous trout up there. Is it Mud Creek where the ranger, the house?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and of course they've got all kind of the gulps, but you know, I don't like the crabs for some reason.
Never used them.
We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Even the TV channel.
That's great.
Didn't help.
And we're back. And anyway, what I was talking about is what I'd be targeting is the whiting down here in Palm Valley. Like, you could target them up here, but I don't know, you know, what size they are.
Nassau Sound sounds perfect.
Yeah, it's actually Nassau Sound is where I used to go all the time for whiting. You could really get some there because it's all sandy in there, you know.
I noticed a lot of boats pulled up about two-thirds of the way to Simpson's Creek.
Yeah, in the sound?
Yes.
Okay, that's there's some pine trees. If you get up in that area, you'll be beside the sandbar that's mm-hmm. that's in the middle. Yep. If you look over to the right, you'll see some pine trees that are set way back, but they're actually pine trees mixed in with all those oaks, and they stick up above the oaks, and you'll see the whole group of pine trees in there. I used to get straight out from that, and then you just take the boat and go toward, you know, from the bank, go toward the sandbar until you get that deepest trough in there. It's usually about 38, 39 yeah. feet deep, and that's where we used to do the best on the whiting at in there. You could also go on down almost to the ocean and get between Bird Island 1 and Bird Island 2. That's what they call the sandbars out there is Bird Island. There's 1 and 2. And then you get between those, do the same thing, getting the deepest trough in there. In the springtime, you used to always go in there for about 2 weeks and use clams in 8 foot of water at the sandbar on the outgoing tide. And that's where we used to catch some of the great big sheephead, the 8 to 12 pound sheephead. The big females would get in there and they'd be eating those clams, those great big old clams. And what you do is just pop the clam open and don't crush the shell. Just pop the clam open, throw the shell right behind the boat where you're fishing. You know, sure. of course, that's going to help chum it up because you got, you know, the little piece of the meat attached to mm-hmm. the shell. And then take and cut the clam up in several little pieces. You want small pieces, but you want to keep the foot of that clam, you know, what they call the foot,
the hard part,
the muscle. You want to keep a piece of that on each piece that you cut. And so you stick the hook through the soft spot and then stick it through the tough spot and then just drop it right behind the boat there in 8 foot of water. Didn't work in 12, doesn't work in 6. 8 foot of water seemed like the magic touch in there. And I don't know if that's because that's where all the clams that are normally in there, because those big sheephead go in there for about 2 weeks in March. And, you know, now that the El Chipo's in March, that might be a good idea to try to go do. We used to catch some really big sheephead in there, though. You don't get a bunch of them, but you get about 6 or 8 of them. And with those clams, you want to take a lot of clams, because with those clams, you'd catch black drum, whiting, you know, sometimes a pompano, stuff like that and mixed in with those sheephead. But those big females that get on their sandbars, I think they were eating some of those big clams.
And that's amazing they could get into, you know, a clam.
Yeah.
Especially those big quahog clams. You need a hammer.
I know. It's unreal. And that's what we would have to do is take a little, you know, I'd take my pair of pliers and just pop it on the shell, mm-hmm. you know, to break it open. But just throw it right behind the boat there where you're fishing at.
When I lived in St. Simon's Island, there was a guy that commercial fished for sheephead.
Mm-hmm.
Old black guy. You'd see him hanging onto a bridge pillar.
Uh-huh.
You'd think he'd be crippled.
Mm-hmm.
And he used, if he couldn't get fiddlers, if it was cold or something,
mm-hmm.
he'd use mussels because yeah. there's a lot of mussels up there.
Mm-hmm.
Very successful. I mean, that guy would catch sheephead all day long.
Well, the little black mussels that are on your oyster shells a lot, those things work great.
Mm.
You know, barnacles, just barnacles on a hook. Now, people talk about how you get them on a hook. You know, you take a knife or a little scraper and just scrape it right off. You know, to try to keep that barnacle in whole condition, and just put it on the tip of your hook and drop it in there
like a donut.
Yeah,
little sheephead donuts.
Yeah, we all love donuts. So yeah,
we all.
So that works, you know. But you know, things like that is just amazing to me. How you know the sheephead, like you're talking about, to get into those big clams. You know, I mean, I have actually seen big sheephead squash a 5/0 kale hook flat. I mean, it's just amazing the strength they have in those teeth, you know. That's why you never want to get your finger in one of them's mouth. I mean, I could not imagine. It would just chop it right off, I would imagine. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, the different things that people can use for sheep's head that they don't normally think about. I mean, if you go get oysters and you know, stuff like that, you want to have a receipt showing that you bought the oysters. You can't go just get oysters and try to fish for sheep's head with them.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about that.
Yeah,
because I know there's a real shortage of oysters.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is they don't want you harvesting them and doing that without a license, without a shellfish license. But you can go buy them and do it. I mean, mm-hmm. I've done that before, too.
I've chummed with oysters before. Yeah.
And it amazes me, too, you know, the difference that you can do. Sometimes you'll bring up all those little blennies and toadfish when you chum with oysters. I mean, a bunch of them.
Perfect.
So I try not to chum anymore, you know.
I fished next to some guys. In fact, the one gentleman his boat. He's got a scout for his boat, mm-hmm. and he's won El Cheapo three times. I used to see him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Nice guy. And I was fishing for sheephead back when I earned the Blenny King, you know, handle. And they caught 20 sheephead while I was watching them. Mm-hmm. Just, and they had bought a sack of oysters.
Mm-hmm.
They anchored up on the outside of the South Jetty, and they were having a ball mm-hmm. down there. And it was very frustrating for me and everybody else because we weren't catching anything.
Yeah.
Except Blennies, my friends.
Well, you can imagine. I mean, chumming them up like that is going to bring them up, but it's going to bring up a bunch of other stuff too. But,
sure.
You know, but it does bring up sheephead. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've watched the commercial guys go out there off the tip of the South Jetties
mm-hmm.
and have crushed up oysters in buckets. And I've seen them scatter them out there and then throw a cast net right over top of those rocks.
Really?
And when I first saw them do that, this years ago, when I first saw them do that, I'm thinking, do they know those rocks are underwater there? I mean, you know, they don't just end where you see them. They go under the water. And they'd pull up like 15 sheep's head in the cast net.
I saw in New Smyrna Beach, we have a flounder run every spring when you just live down there. And you'd be fishing, standing on the rocks on the mm-hmm. jetties, and I'd be fishing under your feet, and you'd be fishing under mine because we'd each be on a rock.
Yeah.
And I saw a guy cast net out there one time on the rocks, and he'd dive in and get his cast net loose, and he'd have wow. five or six flounders in there.
Wow.
It was amazing. And he'd been doing it for, you know, he looked like a frog. He'd been out there for hours. Man. He had a whole cooler full of flounders. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was shocked when I first saw him doing that, you know, with the cast net over top of those rocks. I just thought he's lost that net. But sure enough, they pull him up.
I've lost a lot of nets.
Yeah, you got to watch where you throw them. But, you know, the sheep's head should still be biting out there when you can get out there. That's the problem with getting out there right now because, I mean, it has been some kind of wind blowing. So it's been pretty choppy out there. I don't know the condition of the water, whether it's been muddy or not this week, because I haven't been out there. How did it look Wednesday?
It was real clear when I was out on Wednesday morning in the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that when I was done, the tide had changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was an outgoing tide. When it started coming back in, the river, the channel was muddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see the mud line. You know,
when you're talking about the river, where at? When you're coming back from the jetties?
No.
Okay.
The channel going north.
Oh, okay. The reason I was saying that because, you know, they are still dredging in the river.
Yeah.
So sometimes they're causing a lot of mud in there.
I imagine that's hurting the fishing.
Yeah, it is in that area. It sure is. And I think it's ruining one of my favorite drum spots out there. In the river, because I think it's covering up all, you know, all the loose mud that's drifting. I think it's covering up the rocks and the structure down there. You know, it's over with already.
Wow.
I know it goes by fast, yeah. But anyway, stay tuned for Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, and we'll be back next week.